down. Man says, you know, we evolved up from a little amoeba coming up, and God says, no, you're going down to a worm. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire shall not be quenched. Matthew 10:28, it says, fear not him who's able to kill the body, but fear him who's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Now, destroying is not annihilating it. You're like a man falling in the boiling pot of steel up here in the steel mills, you know, falls in, you know, he becomes, you know, the next car door or something, where he's just singed up and gone. It's not like that. That's what the Jehovah Witnesses think. Where a person's thrown into hell, they're gone. And I was talking to one of them about that, and I said, now, if that's true, wouldn't that be bad enough? He said, I'm going to agree with you and say it's true. Isn't that still worse than coming to Jesus Christ and rely upon Him and Him alone for eternal life? And then he made the old argument, yeah, but, you know, no parent would put their child in fire, you know. And I said, yeah, that's right, but God's not putting His child in fire. That's the devil's child who's rejected His Son, spit in His Son's face. Okay, and so, so the corruption, that's the corruption part, but the difference between that and the Lord is the Lord saw no corruption. Acts 2:27-31. Okay, then Jonah continues his crying out to God. Verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. That's kind of a strange statement. Doesn't seem to follow along the flow here. But he's saying God is hearing my prayer. And why is God hearing my prayer and granting me mercy? Verse 8, he says, they that observe lying vanities. What is a lying vanity? Okay, that's something, that's an advantage of the computer program. Type in those two words, lying and vanity, and you can find those. Now, I gave a couple cross-references on that one. 2 Kings 17:15. Lying vanity. 2 Kings 17 is the definitive chapter when the nation of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, actually go into slavery under the Assyrians, and why they did it. Why not why they did it, but why it happened. And 2 Kings 17 gives why it happened. What was it like right before their destruction and everything? And then Judah would be 2 Kings 25. 2 Kings 17:15, it says, they rejected his statutes. They, Israel, rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers and his testimonies, which he testified against them. So he had prophets who was preaching against the Israelites and their religious structure. They testified against them, and they followed vanity and became vain. And went after the heathen that were round about them concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. Okay, what were the heathen doing around them? 16, it's false religions. And it's vanity. A false religion is lying vanity. Okay, why? It's a vain show. When a person adopts, granted, I realize that most people that attend church are attending that church of choice. Most is because that's the one the family went to, and it's probably a social thing, or if, you know, if a guy wants to make business connections, that's a lot how people join a church. But when a person adopts a religious structure within their spirit to trying to appease God, that's when it turns into a vanity. Show you the mindset of Americans. Okay, I'm sure you heard about this on the news. Some Hollywood producer, Polanski, some guy named Polanski, Roman Polanski, 30 years ago, he drugged and raped a 13-year-old girl. Okay, and I guess there was more involved, but a really, really heinous thing. Okay. He admits to the, he cops a plea, admits to the charge, gets a lesser plea, and during sentencing, he fled the country and went and lived in France. So evidently in France, they're not going to extradite him or kick him out, you know, come to the U.S. So here he's been living over there for 30 years, going in and out of Switzerland. Well, they just arrested the clown. Okay, now, do you hear the Hollywood types? He's been good since then. One night I was listening to Hannity. I get tired of this Hannity guy because he was so rude to Ron Paul. But I happened to be listening to him, and he kind of said, I want to get you people's mindset that think that this Polanski should not be brought back and serve justice. And this one clown said, it's been 30 years, and the girl that he did this to said she just wants it to go away, and if she's fine with it, I think it should be okay. And as Hannity said to him, if you had a 13-year-old daughter, he says, I do have a 13-year-old daughter. He said, and your daughter got raped, how would you feel about it? He said, well, I'd ask her how she felt about it. What an idiot. But the basic argument for these people is that he's been productive to society for 30 years. He did what he did, and who knows, he hadn't done it since again. That kind of crowd, this is not uncommon. You see, and so the guy needs to face justice. He's 76 years old. Still put him in there, he needs to face justice. Okay, but you see, people's mindset is, here I've offended a holy God. Yeah, but I've been good for several years. Shouldn't that count? Not with a holy God. That's a lying vanity. And so when a person accepts a lying vanity, this is why when you go into the, you know, some jungles, you know, and they got a religion, they're adopting a lying vanity. They are competing against Jesus Christ. They're trying to appease God by their goodness. And Jonah says, they are actually forsaking the mercy of God by doing that. God would not be merciful to them. Okay, and so, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Then he says, verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. So he evidently made a promise. And then he says, salvation is of the Lord. And that's the end of the prayer. Now, I don't know if the Catholics, you know, they often have certain prayers for certain issues in life. You know, pray to this guy, you've got a problem with drinking. And if you pray to this guy, you've got a problem with this and all this stuff. I don't know if they have one, pray to somebody in case you get swallowed by a whale. Pray to St. Jonah in case you get swallowed by a whale. I don't know about that. Here he's offering a sacrifice. Now, how is he offering a sacrifice in a belly of a whale? Did the thing swallow a lamb at the same time? How is he going to strike a match to offer a sacrifice? Obviously, we know that this is an example of a spiritual application of something where he could not do a literal sacrifice of a lamb, a pigeon, you know, or turtle dove. What did he offer a sacrifice? It was a voice of thanksgiving. Okay, now this is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 13. This sacrifice. Okay, now we do have some spiritual sacrifices in the New Testament that we can do. Okay, but this was one, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to thy name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Okay, this is offering a voice of thanksgiving for a trial in your life. So it'd be like Jonah in the belly of the whale, said, Lord, thank you for putting me in here. He's saying that while he's in the belly of the whale. He's offering a sacrifice of thanksgiving, a voice of thanksgiving to God. And the reason why it's called a sacrifice, who wants to thank God for being swallowed by a whale. Okay, and so he recognizing that this is the best thing and has happened to him, I guess. Now, I've had very few, but I have had a couple of guys tell me this in jail. They said, I am glad I got thrown in jail. He said, it got me to get serious about knowing God. Okay, not too many, no more than five have said that to me in all these years, but I have had a couple say that. So this is an offering, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, with that in mind, if that runs us to Hebrews 13, so there is a doctrinal connection between Jonah and the tribulation saints. The tribulation saints, 144,000 Jews there, who will run around the world preaching to Gentiles, is like Jonah, who is running around or running to Nineveh preaching to Gentiles. And when Jonah died, he went down, and the Jewish evangelists, when they get sacrificed in the tribulation time period, it seems that they may go down, but then they get a resurrection. So Jonah seems to be a type of the 144,000, okay, that will be preaching worldwide. Okay, and so, but yet, and I would say this is where Matthew 16 is talking about, where it says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them, reference to the Jewish evangelists of the tribulation, where it will not prevent them, and they will be risen from the dead. So, if you put those together, remember the Bible is a book to be properly divided, and this is how you kind of get your pieces together. And verse 9, salvation is of the Lord. Is he referring to his individual salvation? Is he referring to the salvation of him getting out of the mess he's in? Is he referring to the salvation of the nation of Israel? I don't know, but then the Lord heard his prayer in verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomiteth out Jonah upon the dry land. Now, you'd have to use your imagination to think about this, but think about it. What would a body look like after 3 days of being hit with digestive juices of a whale? You know what your feet look like when you've been in a bathtub for an hour and a half. Throw 72 hours on that. Now, the other accounts where someone has been recovered, a body has been recovered, one out of a shark, one out of a whale, where their skin in this whale got to the center and there's a body in the stomach. They said that the body turned purple and died, obviously. So, man, can you imagine hair, you know, unless he's bald, you know, but hair half gone, stinking, smelled like barf. And he puked him up. And so then he went to Nineveh. You talk about, you talk about weird looking character. And I wonder if the people said, man, we better be afraid of God that can do that to somebody. Okay, but there's something, you know, right up on dry land there. But then he had to run to Nineveh. How far of a run was that? 3 days journey? He got there in a day? He took off. Now, granted, he may have had help under the Old Testament covenant because the Spirit of God could pick a man up and move him. But he had to run, he had to get over there. He had to cross all over in that dry land to get over there. Okay, so that's chapter 2. We'll stop there and get in chapter 3 next time. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for a blessed book you've given us. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be serious about the words of this book, believe what it says, and to know what we are required to do or to believe after reading what it says. In Jesus' name, amen. Waters compass me about even to the soul. His body is in the whale, but where is his soul going? Was there split? Remember, at death, what is death? Death is not brain dead, per se, because there are some people that have been declared brain dead and then came out of it. Not too many, but some have. Death is when the soul and the body is split, when they part. And James 2, also the spirit. So when the soul and the spirit exit the body, that's death. Genesis 35, verse 18, when Rachel was given birth, it says, and her soul was in departing, for she died. Okay, so when the soul and spirit leave the body, that's death. And so Jonah's body was in the whale and his soul went down. So he died, like the Lord died. The waters compassed me even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. Okay, you say, well, he's in water. Well, no, there could be weeds in the belly of the whale, too. But if he sunk down and then got tangled up in there, the whale came along and gobbled him up, or is it the weeds that's inside the belly with him? He says, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. So there's mountains below the waters. Of course, today with modern technology, they'll tell you the mountain ranges below the oceans. Okay, we don't need all that. We believe what the book says, but in the mountain ranges down under the waters, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, the earth with her bars. Now there is where we're getting more specific. The earth with her bars was about me forever. What bars? Is this the rib cages of the whale? Got his hands around the rib cages. Let me out. The earth has bars. Hell has bars. Hell has gates. Matthew 16:18. The gates of hell shall not prevail against me. Now that's literal gates, but that's not, everybody takes that symbolically. They take the first half literal, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the second half symbolic. The Catholics do it and the Baptists do that. The Catholics take the first part literal, you know, Peter's the rock, you know, and our church is built in a rock, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Rome. Since when has the church of Rome been down into hell, and since when can gates prevail against them? They all take it, the first half literal, second half figurative. Okay, what if there's a time period in history that a church can be held back by gates? Now, I'm thinking it's a tribulation. So, hell has gates, hell has bars, hell has chains. We'll see that in Revelation chapter 20. So, hell is a prison. Revelation chapter 20. So the earth with her bars was around me. Revelation 20 verse 1. I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Okay, then so the Lord Jesus Christ has the keys to the bars, or the chain, or the gates in hell, and may dish them out to his angels, I don't know, and then they wrap some extremely bad prisoner in shackles, you know, and make him, and throw him into hell. In this case, it's the devil. Verse 3, he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is called the devil, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal. Okay, the bottomless pit is in the heart of the earth. According to Isaiah 14, this bottomless pit is all sides. Isaiah 14 is when God said he's going to throw the devil into hell, Lucifer. So in the heart of the earth, if we believe what the Bible says, the earth has sections. It's hollowed out like a donut. And there are sections in the earth that have specific places reserved for fallen angels. 1st and 2nd Peter write about that. And they have different levels of hell where you have damnation, greater damnation, the lowest pit. So there's three parts to hell. Okay, and it's dark, and it's hot, and it's scary, and monsters are down there to scare people, devils. And it's below our feet. So if you could take all that description and the soul of the individual starts devolving into a worm, a red maggot. Okay, where their worm dieth not and the fire shall not be quenched. Okay, now that's, if we're going to believe what the Bible says. Now, if a person says, I would, you know, some scientific proof. Actually, you have more scientific proof for hell than you do heaven. And it's not difficult to prove about hell. You go to the encyclopedia. We got some in this library. Check out Volume E, Earth. Look it up. Open it up. They'll have a cross-section of the Earth, like a globe, kind of cut out. And they'll tell you that there's three parts to the inner part of the Earth, and there's three all-hot parts. One is called the outer core. One is the mantle. You have the Earth crust, which is on an average of 15 to 20 miles, the Earth crust. Then the mantle, up to 4,000 degrees Fahrenheit. A volcano is God's physical proof that it's hot below our feet. Then you have the outer core, 4,000 to 9,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And then inner core, over 9,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, when you get those temperatures, what difference does that make? You're still scorched. Okay? But even at that, so here we have scientists will say that inside the Earth we have three sections, and they're all hot. And here we have a Bible that says that hell is in the middle of the Earth, and there's three parts to it, and they're all hot. Okay? And this is where Jonah went, if we believe what he said. So the bars, okay, Job writes about this also, of Jonah chapter 2 verse 6. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. So the corruption is the soul itself devolving.